Hello, everyone, and
hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Musically Opinionated after 2 months.
We are alive.
We are alive. I'm Jackson.
I'm Ella.
And we have opinions on music.
So we might have a little bit of explaining to do. We
kind
of dropped off the radar for kind of a hot minute, but essentially what happened is school just picked up like a lot. We're trying to balance everything as best as we can, but there's a lot of like uncertainty, and not to throw out the COVID excuse, but there just is a lot of like scheduling uncertainty. Like if we might go full remote, cause we're in a hybrid model right now. And, there's a lot of like, when is what do, you know, we don't have a very solid schedule, which makes it very hard for us to get stuff done outside of school, if you know what I mean. But I've missed this dearly, and so we're going to try to get back on track for bi-weekly episodes, every other week. Just as bi-weekly, like every other week, or is it twice a week? Because yeah, I feel like it can be used either way.
Well, we're not doing two episodes a week because we can barely do one.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to be uploading every other week. We do have an episode that's pre-recorded from like literally over a month ago that hopefully will come out pretty soon. It's a two-parter. It took us a very, very long time to record. That one we worked really hard on. So I'm super excited for everyone to hear it. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I love that episode.
That was a really fun one to record. And I have a lot of albums planned. I think Jack has a lot of albums planned that I really wanted to talk about. And I know we definitely have some ideas for joint picks that are going to be very fun.
Mm-hmm. I've been working on, we have a YouTube page now.
Yeah, that.
And we're going to put episodes up on there too. They might come out after, like a day or two after the episodes go up. But like, as of this going up, I'll be putting things up on there. I think one premiered last night and I just forgot to finish putting the rest up. But there should be episodes on YouTube now. It's Musically Opinionated. We didn't change that much about it. But yeah.
Yeah.
We're working on some fun stuff just to kind of get back into it.
Yes.
And make up for our absence, I think.
So this episode is just going to be a shorter one. We say shorter one, it's probably going to be as long as usual, like, because we talk a lot, but there's going to be less songs because we just decided to do a quick little EP to kind of ease us back into making these episodes. So we are going to be talking about the first release from a band that I love, the 1981 EP by I Don't Know How But They Found Me. They just dropped their debut record, which I eventually want to talk about. That's one of the things that I have lined up in my little head about, you know, for future episodes. Very excited for that one because I absolutely love that new album. But we just wanted to do something quick, so we're talking about their first release, which was an EP. And this is the banger. I'm super excited. Jack, do you want to, that was kind of blended, my opening thoughts were kind of blended into our disclaimer / explanation at the beginning, so if you want to go ahead and do your opening thoughts.
I'll just say this EP came out in 2018. I feel like we've both had our own separate journeys with this EP.
Yep.
But I'm thinking we're gonna kind of meet in the middle. It might be like Save Rock and Roll a little bit, where we go in thinking that we're gonna agree, but then come out on the other side like, wow,
yeah,
this was different. I thought this would be good because, like you said, it was a nice short one, and I think it fits our tastes well, and I think honestly, we just needed a chill episode for today.
Yeah.
As opposed to doing one like the last episode where we recorded, where it was 18 songs long and we had never heard it before.
Yeah. And it was just, it was dense. There was a lot to talk about.
There was a lot, and I love that episode. This is just not the episode to record today.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about, okay, so this EP starts off with like a little introductory track. We're not going to give that one. I didn't give that one a rating.
I didn't
either. Okay, good. I did not give that one a rating. But I do have a few, like, this sort of is also blended with my opening thoughts, like, because this is more of like a background information type of deal. The first track is literally just called Introduction, and it's exactly what it says it is. It's an introduction. I don't have that much to say about it. I'm not going to give it a rating. You know, it's literally like 30 seconds long. But what I am going to say is it does a really nice job, like, setting the scene for the tone of the EP. It has, like, this creepy retro sort of, you know, ambiance going on. And I think I use that word a lot in my notes, the word ambiance, but that's just how that's the only way to describe it, you know?
Better than vibey.
I don't want to get too far into like the lore and mythos of the I don't know how cinematic universe, because there is in fact lore, but I'll save that for when we do their full album, because I do really want to do that and I have a lot to say. But all I'm saying is there's a very strong, and I hate using this word on this podcast because it just feels tacky, but there is a very strong aesthetic that I don't know how it's able to convey. And they do a really, really nice job with it. Like from the start, this like really sets the scene. And that's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah. I only said it's funky, it sets the tone, I'm not gonna rank it.
Yeah,
that's all I have written.
yeah, so that's not really a real track, but so the first like actual song, and I have a lot to say about this one, is Choke. So I'm going to go first. I'm just making an executive decision to go first. This was like my favorite song in eighth grade, like my favorite song, to the point where a screenshot from the lyric video was my lock screen on my phone for like a long time.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, actually. That was an era. I thought this song was so fucking edgy, which, and to be fair, it's pretty edgy, but like, I thought I was like hot shit for listening to this song, and I thought I was so underground and like so like I thought I just had discovered music. Like, it was insane. Anyway, it was also, so this was their first single release, and they didn't really do that much promotion for it at first. You know, I don't know how it was a side project originally. I heard the song around the time Dallin Weeks, which he is the lead singer and bassist of I Don't Know How, he was used to be in Panic at the Disco, if you didn't know. At this point he was just a touring member, but he ended up leaving. And, I think I found the song literally the day he announced his departure from Panic. And I like absolutely fell in love with it. This is funny because it's sort of come full circle for me with these two bands, because now, like, I Don't Know How is one of my favorite bands, and Panic, like specifically their newer stuff. And I still think the old stuff holds up, but Panic just isn't really my cup of tea anymore. But I Don't Know How, like, they have really, really stuck with me. Anyway, let's just talk about the actual song. All of I Don't Know How's music, as I was saying earlier with Introduction, there's definitely this spooky feel to it. and this song really takes that and runs with it. It pulls no punches with both the sonic aspects and the lyrics. You know, he comes out here with "I'll break your pretty face, wouldn't hesitate to smile while you suffocate and die," and like that is just so unapologetically violent, which in my opinion is like so interesting and refreshing, especially coming from Dallin, who's like this Mormon father And on top of that, these lyrics are set to this like almost children's show-esque, like very like I was saying earlier, like very retro, but like upbeat and like 70s, 80s kind of sounding music. I just think it's brilliant. I it works so well. It has been speculated, and you know, who am I to shy away from some good old-fashioned speculation that this song is about Brendon Urie of Panic at the Disco fame. Dallin has said that this song came out of his disillusionment with living in LA, plus, you know, some of the lyrics talking about sycophantic teens, the line, you get everything you want and money always talks to the idiot savants. It could definitely be interpreted that way. As for the negatives to this song, I think I probably just overplayed it a bit when it first came out.
Absolutely.
And maybe made it a tad less enjoyable for myself just because I listened to it on repeat for like 3 months in eighth grade and like didn't listen to any other songs because I thought this was like the pinnacle of music, which it low-key is. Like, this song goes so hard. But it's still a go-to for me whenever I'm feeling a bit, you know, villainous. A bit murderous. So I gave it an 8. I think it's an 8.
All right. Yeah, you kind of got everything that I had in my notes. I really like this song because, like you were saying, there is something like I wrote playfully malicious in my notes. It has very like, especially in the chorus, these like springy, like retro instrumentals that are layered under lyrics. Like, I wouldn't hesitate to smile while you suffocate and die. And of course, because it wouldn't be a episode of this podcast without referencing the Leather Mouth episode. We've talked about a lot how, you know, kind of that feeling, I guess, on the surface level of the song, like, kind of being frustrated with a lifestyle that you feel like you don't fit into, which, you know, if we're going to speculate, obviously could just be,
we know.
But I think what I really like about this one is that the delivery for that type of song is unlike anything that we've talked about on this podcast. We've had two of these songs now, and the sonic aspect of the song has matched the lyrics really well. This kind of goes against
there's like a juxtaposition.
And I think it would have been easier for them to go with something more hardcore, but you know, it almost felt like they used the instrumental to represent how that perspective or like how LA in general can just lead to an overall sense of disillusionment. Which, you know, could be really overthinking it because that's kind of a lot. Like, be like, yeah, like, I wanted my instrumental to go against the lyrics, and I did that intentionally when it could have just been I like this guitar.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know what I mean? But, I don't know. It's a really fun song overall, and it still goes hard 3 years after its release. It wasn't my total favorite on the EP, so I gave it a 7.5, but, I still liked it a lot.
I definitely feel like you know, you that juxtaposition between the sonic aspect and the lyrics. Like, Dallin is such a deliberate musician. You know, like, he is true. So, like, he knows what he's doing. He has a vision, and he really executes it super well. So I definitely do think that he did everything in this EP. On his album, like, everything in his entire career, I feel like it's just like it's planned out. Like, he is so good at coming, like, getting across what he wants to say, you know, even if it's not like in your face, you know what he means. Which, you know, carries over into this next song, number 3, Social Climb. When I'm with you, when I'm You know, there's definitely some recurring themes going on here. I don't know if you want to go first on this one.
Yeah. Lyrically, this is probably one of my favorites on the EP. Kind of sums up how the social ladder works from a very surface level standpoint. It sums up how that kind of social ladder works in LA and how people will kind of use other people to make their way up that ladder in order to achieve greater and greater success. And I'm assuming that, you know, this is another one of those songs that could be connected to Mr. Brendan Urie. I'm not going to talk about what Brendan did essentially in my notes. I'll leave that to you. I will say from Down's perspective, it must have been interesting to have success as a member of Panic, even though like he wasn't the one in the spotlight because Brendan is a narcissist. and then going on to have a solo career that, and then having to kind of like rebuild that reputation essentially, it must have been interesting to see it from both sides. Yeah. And I'm imagining there must have been a drive to get back to that point, which, you know, kind of, I'm trying to go away from the Brendan Urie narrative in this one because it was very hard.
Well, exactly. Not to connect it's like, it. Especially when you think of when this was written, like it's so hard. Yes, and I feel bad because I think Dallin, like his entire career is like trying to be, or like his entire solo career is trying to be like, hey, I'm not just that guy who was in Panic at the Disco.
Yes, exactly.
But like, you know, I think it's hard if you look at the context of this album, if you look at the lyrics, like, it's not that hard to figure out that there was definitely some disillusionment with just being in Panic and all of that.
Yeah. I don't think I would have lasted.
No.
In Panic. Quite honestly, because that
I would have thrown hands off instantly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But anyways, like I was saying, I'm guessing there has to be a drive. I know people say that, like, you're not doing music for success, but to have that level of success and then, you know, leave the band and like kind of be put back to square one, there must be some sort of drive to get back to that point. Especially you can hear that on the bridge when he goes, but if the lights don't stop, no one's got control of what I do. So yeah, production wise, it wasn't my favorite, but I do think that this was very thought out again. Having the production on the bridge build up in intensity because it mirrored how the lyrics built up. That was a nice touch. And I liked it on the chorus. So I give it
okay, yeah. It makes sense. I mean, this whole EP, there is just this huge recurring theme. You know, Dallin's once again making references to toxic celebrity culture, feeling out of place in that toxic celebrity culture, you know. And Dallin has said of his writing that a lot of times he's not directly writing about anything specific in his life, that he's just trying to tell a story. And if that's the case with this song, it definitely furthers the narrative of someone out of place. You know, there's this line, leagues of social climbers, you know, that's, you know. I just said, you know, like three times in a row. Please ignore me. I'm very out of practice with this. Anyway, Dallin's like, you know, his narrator, his character of, you know, if we're going off of the idea that it's not directly based off of something in his life, he's making this and this comes back and do it all the time. He has this character who is in this position of power and is just very, very, very overwhelmed by it. And while that might not be a direct reference to anything in his life, like he was that narrator, you know, like that story comes from somewhere. And it's not a stretch to draw those parallels between Dallin's time in Panic and the experiences that this narrator is going through. You know, the first verse of this song very much gives off the impression of some sort of performance, you know, the line doing things not typically allowed, followed by the chorus, also paints the picture of someone who's thrust into a position of power that they are definitely not comfortable with. It's a very interesting track. I think it might be a little less interesting than Choke, maybe less of a standout, but I still really like it. I also gave it a 7. I think it's a really solid song. And I definitely see those parallels I think this might be the defining, well, it's not as much of a lyrical, I mean, not a lyrical standout, a sonic standout. I feel like the message of this song is like,
clear.
And it's like, the lyrics of this song is what the entire album is sort of based around. Or EP.
Yeah.
My bad.
I had to go back in my notes. So
it's not, yeah, like it's that was so hard for me because we're so used to talking about albums.
Hated. Yeah.
Anyway, number four, mm-hmm. Bleed Magic. I wanna take you home. Do you want to go?
I'm gonna let you go first because I feel like
okay. Yeah, no, this one. I'm gonna say this up front. This is probably lyrically my least favorite on the EP. I like it a lot. It's just not something I ever listen to when I'm not listening to 1981 all the way through. Like, I'll go back and listen to a couple of the songs on this album like all the time. Like, I'll put them on my playlists and stuff like that. Bleed Magic is not something that I typically go to. But I had a really, really fun time listening to this song again a couple times. It's not a standout for me, despite the concept, which you would think, okay, so the concept of the song is a vampire stalking and seducing and killing someone. It's fun. It's dark. I love vampires. You would think that this would be like right up my alley. I'm just not as in love with the lyrics here as I am, you know, with a lot of Balan's other songs. Musically, however, I really, really like a lot of the choices that are made. The bass line, incredible. You know, Dallin is a bassist primarily, like that's his instrument. And he really, really works that in. Like you can tell that these songs were written by a bassist. You know, I also like a lot of the little breaths that are a motif throughout. It works well with the theme of the song, you know, the whole life and death thing. I also, this is a weird thing about me, but I really like it when you can hear a vocalist breathing in a song when they're recording their vocals, because it feels more raw and unpolished to me. And y'all know how I feel about overly produced tracks. Like, I just like small choices like that, you know, that make it feel more, and this is going to sound so tacky, so pretentious, like an audio experience rather than... You next time you see me, feel free to slap the shit out of me for saying that. I didn't even have that written down in my notes. I just came up with that on the spot. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I also gave this song a 7.
Audio experience.
I do think that its strengths come more in the sonic aspects than in the lyrical aspects. Although, you know, I'm not gonna say the lyrics are bad. Dallin is like a good writer. It's just, I don't know. I feel like if maybe this was developed a little bit more, it could have been like my favorite song ever. Anyway, what did you have to say about this?
All right. So surprise, surprise. This is my favorite song from the EP. Lyrically, you're right. It's not a standout. I think especially because the last two songs were so intertwined with one another, and then this one's like, all right, let's give you like a vampire fantasy now. Like, just fully take a sharp right. But production wise, ugh. Like, I don't even like need to listen to the song for lyrics. I'll just throw this on if I need something like this to listen to. I don't know. It's a really good song, and I did pick up the twinkle sound for the first time, which I guess is significant because we did kind of have a turning point with this song, even though it does go right back to it. But I guess with the storytelling that's supposed to be in his EP, like, you're supposed to, like, metaphorically turn the page at this point. And again, lyrically, it's probably the weakest on the CP now that I think about it. But the line crawling up your skin, potion-pleasing medicines to circumvent your brain has
that one is really, really good at, like, one-liners. he'll drop a lyric on that you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And, like, when he was writing for Panic, I noticed that a lot because now there's an absence
of
that. And because it was, at first it was Ryan. Ryan was good at that.
You know how I feel about Ryan Ross. Don't even get me started. I love that man.
Yeah. And then we had Dallin, who obviously is strong in his own way, but like you can notice that there's an absence of like an
actual lyricist, like a poet.
Lyricist in the band right now. Yeah. Which, you know, if we ever decide to do
Pray for the Wicked. Maybe we can do Pray for the Wicked on April Fool's Day.
Oh my god, yeah. But even for a song that is pretty weak lyrically in the context of the rest of the EP, it's still got its moments. So
okay.
Yeah, this is an 8 out of 10.
I definitely see this is a really interesting one because I rated all of these songs fairly high. So that's what's good about doing music that's literally just good. Like anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, like, Dallin, he's just a good writer. He's just a good musician. Like, I was not nervous at all. So, you know when an artist drops something new and you're, like, nervous to listen to it? Because I'm like, what if this is bad? I was the opposite of that when listening to the new I Don't Know How album. I was like, this is going to be so good. And it was. Like, okay, moving on. Number 5, Absinthe. So sons and daughters, 'cause absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think I rated this one the highest. My favorite song, and this is basic, but like my favorite song on this EP is probably Choke, but I did rate this one the highest because I think it's so underrated. Like, no one talks about this song ever. This is the song. Okay, this is so specific, but I wrote it down. This is the song that I would want to play in the Halloween party episode if I was the main character of a TV show. Like, you know, like if, you know, those unrealistic Halloween parties that people have in like movies and TV shows, like no one ever has a Halloween party that good. Like Halloween parties are usually just shitty, but this song would be like the montage song, you know what I mean? Like, as some serious drama is going down. Anyway. Like, a very... Also, it would just work well on, like, any soundtrack, because this is, like, a villain song. You know, like, you can just definitely... You can feel that, like, evil, you know, in, like, a fun way. It's, like, a fun villain song. Anyway... A lot of people seem to think that this song is about alcohol. And at a surface level, that's definitely understandable. But Dallin just, like, has said, like, 4 times that it's not. You know, essentially, I think there was one interview quote that I took that he said it's about not buying whatever you're sold. And you know I'm always down for a good critique of consumerism. You know, I feel like this is definitely one of their more underrated tracks. It also, you know, kind of has those recurring themes of, like, music industry is so vapid and like people just listen to, you know, baseless pop songs and like it's definitely this. Sometimes Dallin's writing can come across as a little bit pretentious, but as someone who's equally as pretentious about the music I listen to, like it's relatable, you know. I really like I just really like the way he will use like the almost like campy visuals to talk about something that's really serious, you know, like he you know, I always love songs that are about the music industry and like the dark side of that, because that's just like something that's a concept that I'm like so caught up on. I'm sure you can figure it out if you've been listening to this podcast, that I'm just very much into that whole idea of like the dark side of the music industry. So this song just really hit for me, and the ambiance, I know that's like a stupid word, but like the ambiance that this song creates is just incredible. I gave this an 8.5, so this is my highest rating on the EP. Even though I don't know if it's my favorite, I think Choke is just such a classic, but I did dock half of, maybe I think I docked a whole point for overplaying it for myself. That's me punishing myself
for overplaying.
Anyway, what did you say on this one?
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, giving the notes, I was like fully like on the phone with him, going, what the hell is absinthe? And then like we Googled it together. But I also didn't think the lyric was because absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. I always thought,
oh my god,
abstinence makes the heart grow fonder.
That's like the Catholic school remix.
Yeah, I don't know. Mormon, it would make sense. Like, but but I guess it kind of adds to it a little bit, because like you said, it was, the song is about not buying everything you're sold, and alcohol can like obviously like fuck with your ability to perceive things accurately and make smart decisions. So like I can see why it's there. I'm one of the people who overlooked this song.
I can't believe I thought you were gonna really like the production of the song, because it's like so campy.
No, it is campy. And normally I would love that. I think Bleed Magic and then Do It All the Time coming after, I was like, okay, can we speed it up a little bit? Like, this is one of the times where I did not want it to slow down. And I think that's the thing with shorter projects, is that when you throw in like a song that kind of slows it down a little bit, I get distracted. So it's oh my six God. For me. It's one of the
six. Yeah. I'm heartbroken right now.
I did kind of go in on the ratings for this one. After Folklore, I was like, I can't get out like, loosely anymore. So I kind of shifted my scale down a little bit. But I don't know. Lyrically, it's definitely one of the better songs on the EP, and I respect it for that. Love the chorus.
Yeah.
Love the burning of the witches. But I don't know. It's just, I just needed something more from it, I think. Softly, and I would have loved it.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I definitely see where you're coming from. I just like, I have a very, very strong fondness for this song. Just because, you know, I love me a good deep cut, like a song that no one else talks about. I'll like latch on to that one, and like, and that'll be my favorite. It's like the song that no one fucking knows. Anyway, number six. Taking over the world, one kiss at a time, and then I'm taking your gold, and I'm making it mine. No reason why I'm only doing anything I want to do, because I do it all the time. Do it all the time. So this song, this is absolutely single material. This was a single, I think. But this I feel like definitely is worth the lead single. I think Choke was the lead single, but I think that maybe this song should have been.
I think Choke came out before they were signed.
To like push.
Or before they had like labels going. And then they,
I remember that. I remember the re-release, and I was like, because I don't like re-releases. I get super salty about re-releases because I think I'm gonna get new content, but it's just the same shit. I'm like, fuck you guys. Yeah. But I understand it. I understand the label politics and all that shit. I get it. The economics of it all. Anyway, I definitely think that this song has the most lead single energy out of all of the songs on this album. It's got another really, really awesome bass line. Like I said, Dallin is a bassist, so like I'm really glad that he is appreciating the beauty that is just a really strong bass line. This is, you know, it's another banger critiquing the music industry and vapid pop stars, which are all the things I love to critique. Dallin Weeks, you've done it again. Like, he just... he hits the mark on this one. I don't even have that much to say about it. For once in my goddamn life, I don't have that much to say. I just think that the lyrics speak for themselves. If you haven't heard this EP, what are you doing with your life? Like, go listen to it.
Literally.
And Dallin makes it very, very clear what his opinions are on the music industry, not just throughout the song, but throughout the entire EP, which we're going to get to in a couple minutes. He's very clear. Like I was saying earlier, like if he has something to say, you will understand. Like this song is so like tongue in cheek. And I really love that. I don't know. I don't have that much to say about it. I gave it a 7 just because it's not one of my favorites sonically aside from the bass line. But I just think the lyrics just, they hold up. This whole album just, or EP, sorry, I said it again. It holds up. I don't know, man. What did you have to say?
We were close in rating. I give it a 7.5.
Yeah.
It's a bop. I love how it, like, I don't even know. Like, I think this was kind of a power move to put up this song mocking, like, modern pop cliches. At the same time, marking the end of them being unsigned.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? I like how they called out the modern pop cliches. I think I'm going to get into panic again. I think that Dallin, as the band started to shift into like Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die era, I think that's when the band kind of started to turn into those pop cliches. So he's witnessed them in insane amounts. And I also think that, you know, kind of just being in LA, kind of drawing it back to Choke and Social Climb a little bit.
It's a lot. There's
a whole, like, influencer lifestyle now, which literally is just, grab a camera and do whatever you want whenever you want to. And
I can't fucking stand it. And I think that as like someone who's such a genuine musician as Dallin is, you know, he's a genuine artist, like that must have been so insufferable to be in the middle of all that and seeing all like the toxicity and like the, you know, and not to be like, I feel like this is another annoying word to use, but like everyone's so fake out there, you know, like
no, they are.
It's just, and it's, you can tell how disillusioned he was.
I think what I liked about this is that obviously Dallin's lyricism is pretty much unmatched. And he was able to do this song in such a well put together way, kind of mock them. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, no, it wasn't like
mock them,
childish, or you know, it didn't feel like a diss track. You know, sometimes you hear a song and you're just like, okay, this is just a diss track in the format of an alternative song. Like,
exactly. And that wasn't the case for this one, which I really liked. And I think that I feel like lyrically, It's kind of like what I was saying with Choke. And I think that's been kind of a common thread in this EP, which I will talk about in my closing thoughts. But like deep commentary on something tucked into lighthearted production, which I don't know. I just think it's really cool. And I thought it was a really good closer. And the horns in the background at the end. Ugh, love it every time. But yeah, it's a 7.5 for me. I thought this was fun. Nice closer. Fuck Brendan Urie.
Yes, that's literally all you need to say about it. That could be your closing thoughts.
Speaking of closing thoughts,
let's do it. I don't have that many closing thoughts because I think that this EP is very succinct, and it doesn't need like a lot of the episode that we pre-recorded. I'm just gonna say it's Wolf by Tyler the Creator, and that needed a lot to be said.
I'm so excited.
But this doesn't, because it says it itself. I really love this EP. I love its themes. Dallin, like I said earlier, he does not pull any fucking punches with his lyricism. I mean, I'm just going to say it. He carried the lyrics of Vices and Virtues. Him and Pete Wentz, but like that's another story. I think that you can tell how disillusioned Dallin was. You know, I already said that. But with where he was in the music industry, it lines up so well with, you know, I don't know how, you know, being kind of a side project and then him leaving Panic to, you know, focus on this and then getting signed and then having to drop that label. Like, it's, you know, you can tell that there was just this music industry struggle going on. And that's like the main theme of the album. I do wish, I do think, and maybe this is just after listening to their new album, Razzmatazz, this EP maybe could have benefited from a little bit more diversity in lyrics. There's a lot of the same sentiments throughout it. The only exception is Bleed Magic, and it's to the point where that song feels out of place instead of, like, because all the other songs kind of have the same subject matter, and that one's just like, okay, Vampire. Okay.
Vampire.
Yeah.
We're going.
it's interesting. And I think that, you know, I don't know how developed as a band. I know they were really, really struggling with their label. So that might have something to do with it. You know, I'm always going to jump to blame the record label. But that's because I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I don't know if there was, you know, and I think that this was a really, really good jumping off point for the band. So anyway, what do you have to say about this?
So lyrically, I do agree. It does get a little repetitive, but I think at the time, this is what he needed to talk about. Obviously, he had a lot of content from him departing Panic and all that. But I think this, like, put together, it probably is one of the best collective efforts that we've talked about on the podcast lyrically. I think the overall feelings of like angst and bitterness against the cliche LA lifestyle that he's unfortunately had to live through is so well thought out, which I think he has that cleverness, like I was saying, to put those lyrics together that was in some of Panic's stuff that I really like that is now absent. we're gonna talk about it soon. But lyrically, yeah, I liked it. I don't comment a lot on vocals, but the vocals on this EP were like really good. I go to this EP for vocals, which is not something that I do for a lot of artists. I'm not like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
like a,
that's
highlight.
True. I think Dallin has a really, really good vocal voice, and he knows how to use it and he doesn't use it
that's
to
exactly
show
what
off, unlike right. other lyricists. I mean, other vocalists.
Yes,
he uses it to push his lyrics.
Yes. Oh my God, that's literally what I was gonna say. Exactly, and. He doesn't leave his comfort zone in his voice either. He doesn't go for a falsetto run.
You know, like he just, uses his voice to get across what he wants to say. And like, that is, instead of just trying to sound cool.
His voice is like, he knows how to use it. Lyrically, he doesn't need to like do a bunch of crazy runs and stuff. But I think that his vocals are just like above what I would expect from him if I knew like what his background was and was like, oh, he was the former bassist of Panic, like, okay, cool, and then heard this, I would be like,
yeah,
oh,
exactly,
this does not sound like someone who should have just been the bassist, like, and I think there's a confidence behind his voice, like,
yeah,
it's almost
like
it almost gets like cocky.
I feel like he does a really good job, he's almost like voice acting
in a good way. Yeah, exactly. Which I really liked. Some of those old theatrics from Panic, I think. It did shine on this EP. Sonically, save for Absinthe, I loved it. And like I was hinting at, I think the EP did a really good job at using like the overall sonic landscape of it to create these really cheery alt pop songs with like catchy hooks and then hiding the meanings under that, which I think, again, like I was saying on Choke, almost mimics how like fake and like, oh, not Choke, Social Climb, like how fake LA is as a whole, and like, which I think he spends a lot of his time talking about. And on a couple of songs, the instrumentals mm-hmm. mimic the intensity of the lyrics overall, which I really liked. And overall, I don't think that this was their strongest project, Razzmatazz. I haven't heard all of Razzmatazz, yeah. but already I can see the growth in it. But I think this is a really good start for them. And for a debut project as a duo that was originally mm-hmm. like a side project, this hits. I think it's a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that this was a fun one to do. And I'm very much looking forward to getting back to recording these episodes. This is weird. We usually have like an hour and a half of footage, not footage, of audio. whatever. But yeah, so look forward to the Tyler the Creator episode part one and part two coming out soon after this one. I am very excited to be back.
Hey guys, it's Jackson editing right now. There was some technical difficulties going on with the audio right now, and it's very out of sync, and it's like really bad at this point in the podcast. So I'm just going to take over because I couldn't salvage the rest of it. So I just wanted to say on behalf of both of us, thank you so much for your constant support. Even though we left for 2 months, and for caring about what we have to say, and that we both agree that we are not going to do that again. We are back. We are going to make something work. We have a lot of fun stuff planned for you guys. Again, be on the lookout for the 2-part Wolf episode. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter at MusicallyPod, and we are now on YouTube, which is just Musically Opinionated. We only have Save Rock and Roll on there as of this podcast going live, but I will work to get more episodes up. And this episode will come up like a couple days after it goes live. But yeah, we truly love you guys so much. It means a lot that you've showed continued interest in what we have to say and our opinions. And this was a really fun episode to record, and I'm glad that we were able to do something and not continue a 2-month absence. But yeah, that's all I have to say. Thank you so much. Peace out.